It's Thursday, which means it's time to talk sports with our very own sports wunderkind, none other than New York Times sports columnist Bill Roden. What's up, Bill?
The great Tony Cox, a wunderkind.
Listen, funny guy. Manny. He's really gone Hollywood, Bill, I guess you could say, dragging out what coulda, shoulda been a simple deal to return to the Dodgers months ago. Instead, he and agent Scott Boras and Dodger owner Frank McCourt and GM Ned Coletti strung their poor fans along all this time. And just like that, Manny rides in on a white horse and some stringy braids to save the day.
We actually flew in. What happened was that, you know, Boras was talking to McCourt, the owner. And, you know, McCourt said very earnestly, listen, you know, we really want Manny not just to be part of the team, but we really want him to be part of the community. And Boras said, stop. I think you need to tell that to Manny. So Manny got on the plane. He came in, flew in, and they had a great face-to-face. And, you know, Manny sort of said, listen, yeah, I know that I've got to do a little more. I've got to do a little better. And I think it was a great healing kind of, not healing, but, you know, conversation. And, you know, Manny is very comfortable in L.A. He's in a place where he's got a great fan base. They love him. And so I think it's going to be a very powerful thing. Injuries notwithstanding, Tony, I mean, I think that you guys are going to be in for a really, really special season. I think the Dodgers are going to be tougher. They're going to be better. And Manny's going to really be engaged.
Well, they need some pitching, but that's another story. Here's a question for you.
You want to do everything?
Here's a question for you, Bill. We're in a down economy, right? So where is all of this money coming from to pay these guys these exorbitant salaries? And I'm not even thinking about Manny's $45 million over 2 years, but let's take your beloved Yankees, whose multi-million dollar payroll is bigger than some countries. Yankee stock's not traded on the exchange, is it?
No, should be. But, you know, yeah, I think the Yankees payroll is something like around $140 million or something like that. That's more than the entire, like, almost National League or something. I mean, but at the same time now, they've got to pay payroll tax. They've got to pay sort of a revenue sharing tax. And so, yeah, the system is unfair. There's no question about it. Where's all this money coming from besides you and me?
Right.
I think that there are a lot of lower pay guys who aren't getting offered contracts, who are taking cuts. In other words, you're getting it from somewhere. And the money that they're getting paid now is coming from last year. You know, that's the way baseball does. I think we will see next year, we'll begin to see the pushback in terms of the long-term contracts, where the contracts are taking a hit. But right now, as long as television is there and fans are, you know,
are the fans going to be there? Because I'm hearing that the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball fans, they're worried. The clubs are worried because people, season ticket holders who keep the whole thing going, they may not be re-upping the way they've been in the past.
And that's when you will see the effect of that next year. You know, right now, baseball is still going on in terms of the salaries. They're going on last year's income, which was record-setting. Now, if they've got a downturn at the turnstile, you are going to see it next year. This time next year, we could be talking about some serious, you know, with shrinking, withdrawals. Who knows? You may there could be a couple teams that aren't cutting it.
That are in danger.
And are talking about, yeah,
absolutely. All right, let's move on to another topic. It's March. That means the madness is about to begin, Bill. I know you love college basketball, but before we talk about who is going where in the tournament, let's talk about the tournament itself. If it works for college basketball, why in the world can it not work for college football?
I mean, you just hit just the nerve, man. I mean, I hate it. I mean, that's why I can't look at college football. We've had this conversation before. I can't look at college football because it's a farce. The way the NCAA men's basketball and women's basketball tournament is conducted is the way it's supposed to be. At the end of April, when the one team walks off with a national championship, we'll all be satisfied that, you know what, the best team won. You know, they may have got hot, but they won. They went to a trial by fire, and the best team won. That is not what you have in college football, where it's kind of heebie-jeebie and, you know, abracadabra. You know, yeah, so we can go on for hours on this.
Well, we won't do that. All right, so the South and the East seem to have the big dogs this year. Connecticut, Pitt, Duke, North Carolina. Let's not forget about Oklahoma, Memphis, and Louisville. But regular season play in college basketball is not always a harbinger of what teams will do well in the tournament. So who do you like?
Yeah. Well, I like North Carolina. And I do think, Tony, I know what you're saying. I do think the regular season is somewhat important, even if it's for positioning, it's for momentum. Who goes in with a lot of momentum? And that's what the regular season is about, going downhill and gathering momentum and hitting March Madness with a full steam ahead. I like Connecticut a lot, not, you know, particularly since Jim O'Brien is motivated to prove that he's worth the money he's getting paid. And I like North Carolina a lot. And I always reserve two spots for teams that we aren't even discussing now that are going to be probably in the Sweet 16.
Like who? You're not sure? I know who it won't
be. That's because they're dark horses. Well, I don't know who they are.
I know who will not be in the Final Four this time around. My beloved Bruins from UCLA, they're not going anywhere this year.
Serves them right.
They had their chance, right?
Serves them right.
One last thing before I let you get out of here. I do want to talk about the NBA because we've had a lot of movement in the last few days with Joe Smith heading to the Cavaliers, Stephon Marbury going to the Celtics. Some people think that the Celtics are, you know, a lock to repeat, at least in the Eastern Conference. But if I were in Boston, I'd be very concerned about that Ohio team. What's their name? The Cavs.
Right now, what we're talking about in Cleveland is a great team in January, February. You've got to be a great team in May, in June. And I think that it's not going to lock. It's not a lock. But I like Boston a lot, and I'm really liking L.A., but guess what?
Right.
I like Portland, too.
Portland as well. All right, I will say this, and we got to get out of here. If the Clippers can beat Boston with Mikey Moore, then, you know.
Come on.
All right, I'll leave it alone.
You don't take them. They don't take them seriously. All right. You can't play.
Bill Roden, we have to go. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Hey, Tony, it's always a pleasure.
That was Bill Roden, a sports columnist for the New York Times and author of Third and a Mile, The Trials and Triumphs of the Black Quarterback. He joined us from our studios in New York.